Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. Hope you're having a wonderful day. You're listening to or watching Service Business Mastery Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tersh Blissett, sitting virtually next to my co-host, Joshua Crouch. And for those of you who do not know what Service Business Mastery Podcast is, we're a podcast focused on home service businesses, helping to answer the unasked questions and connect you with people in the industry who have experienced things that you might not have experienced or you're getting ready to experience, and you have questions about. Today's show, we have the world famous Tommy Mello. I've known Tommy for a long time now. We started our podcast actually about the same time. I think that he might have started his just before I started the Service Business Mastery Podcast, which was a long time ago. But he's been on the show once or twice before, and we talked about his other book, which I have right here behind me, but he has a new book out, Elevate, and it is coming out here shortly.
The hard copy is out. Okay. The Audible version will be available soon, which we can have Tommy talk about. Church, I want to interrupt you for just a second, because I don't even know if you've looked at this. Maybe you have. And this is a great episode to announce this on, because I know Tommy's got a podcast that is in like in the top probably tenths of percent as far as listeners and stuff like that. But Tersh has been doing this a really long time, 6-7 years now.
2017.
Yeah. And obviously I've been here for a little over 2 years, and the goal is to amplify this podcast, get it in front of more people. Within the last week, we just passed 1 million total downloads for the show. And I don't know if you've looked at that. I've been tracking it closely, and I kind of forgot to fix like the actual day. Mm-hmm. I just figured I'd look at it because I know Tommy's blew past that a while ago. But
yeah, it's funny because we the millionth download, we actually had to reset our downloads about 4 or 5 years ago. It was something stupid with Apple Podcasts or something. I wasn't taking things serious. It was very much a hobby for me. And so, yeah, that's probably 1 million downloads in the past 3 or 4 years, honestly. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
for
so, well, I wanted to let you know, because obviously it's a huge milestone, and it's speaks to the, this is a grind putting together podcasts, especially in the beginning before you had a team. And obviously, you know, it's a little easier now because we do have some help.
Yeah, we do.
But it's great to see, and it's just a milestone to
absolutely
celebrate, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that being said, I'd like to give a huge shout out to the people who make this possible so that Josh and I aren't sitting here spending 4 days a week editing and pushing content out to all the social media platforms and everything else. Upfrog, Justin and Noah over at Upfrog, they do a great job with re-engaging clients, and they've done that for us. Online pricing of equipment and getting leads that way, which is a really cool concept that we've talked about in the past that we should talk more about here in the future. But they do a wonderful job with everything that they do. If you have any questions about re-engaging your clientele or having pricing put on your website and having questions about that and the good, bad, and ugly revolving around that, reach out to them. They're definitely very smart when it comes to numbers and that kind of stuff and tracking data. Josh, you want to talk about Sarah?
Yeah. So obviously Billy is like a, if anyone's been following him for any length of time now, since he's kind of been back in the trades and back in running a home service business and the software business, every Saturday he gives away valuable tips. And some of those discussions have really brought about some really unique ways to run. Mostly we're talking about HVAC and plumbing, but it can apply to all businesses. So if you don't follow him, I would recommend it. Find him on Facebook or LinkedIn. He posts pretty much everywhere, Facebook, LinkedIn, which of course goes on Instagram, but just follow what he's talking about. At least start thinking differently, because you know, there's factors at play in the future here that the economy is whatever the economy is. It's a little harder to get money and financing. You have to think of different ways to keep your business moving and moving forward.
It's funny because there's things that that Billy mentioned here recently that I actually had a conversation with Tommy about when we were in Vegas 2 years ago, I think, two or 3 years ago now. And just talking about even waiving a consultation fee and that type of stuff. And it's really cool to listen to the people who are really moving along in the industry and how in line their thought process Yeah.
Well, it's just how different they're thinking. They don't think the same way that everyone else does. And that's, there's a reason that the level of success that they've reached has happened, because they aren't doing what everyone else is doing.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Emerson and Copeland, they are putting out a ton of training for HVAC world. If you want to learn how to train your technicians, if you have a tech school that is interested in learning the HVAC world, reach out to them over at Emerson. We can get you connected with their trainers. It's not necessarily they come in and train your business for you, but they teach you how to train your business or train your technicians so that all of their products aren't warranted constantly whenever they don't need to be warranted. But that's not their reasoning behind it. But I'm sure that has something to do with them getting compressors in that are perfectly fine, that were diagnosed incorrectly and under warranty. But they are putting a lot of effort into training the trainer type thing. So if you're interested in that, reach out to us and we'll get you connected with them.
Yeah. And lastly, Company Cam, it's been a sponsor for quite a while now, but I was actually just talking, we're getting our house painted. And I was talking to the painter because they didn't have a CRM, and even just pictures like before and afters. I was trying to like give them some marketing tips to like help grow their business, just even through Facebook right now. And I'm like, you guys got to get something like Company Cam so you can take pictures of before and after these walls, because literally that stuff sells itself when you have a like. And Tommy knows this from garage doors. He calls garage doors the smile of the house or the smile of the home, something similar to that. I hope I didn't butcher that, Tommy. But anything that's aesthetic, people love seeing that stuff, and then they can visualize their house looking like that. So Company Cam really helps bring that to life. It does a lot of other stuff, but from a marketing perspective, it really brings those things to life and can help you sell more jobs down the line. So,
yeah, cool. Good job, Josh. You didn't screw up too bad that time.
Nope.
Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that 7-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
What's up, Tommy?
What's up?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm great. I'm living the best life ever.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say that shit, but this is real. I'm really, really content. I'm happy. I'm excited. And things couldn't be better. And I thank God every day.
It's crazy because whenever you think of garage door companies, I actively look for garage door companies in our area. And I'll drive down I-16, go into Savannah, and I don't ever see garage door companies. Like maybe like the, what is it called? Overhead doors or something like that. I'll see them every once in a blue moon, maybe in a new construction neighborhood area, but I never see garage door companies. And then to listen to you and hear and pay attention to watch your journey for the past 7 years since I first met you. It's wild to think about a garage door company in 40 markets, like, and to think about that versus here in Savannah, where like most of the garage door companies don't even have logos on the side of their trucks. You just see a garage door in the back of their truck. It's just crazy to think about that and how you're changing the garage door industry and how you're going to change the other home service industries coming in the future.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I didn't know how big this was going to get. And I always say hindsight's 20/20. If I would have thought about things a little bit differently, I probably would have been in roofing or HVAC, even though they're a little convoluted. Right. There's more opportunity. There's more, way more opportunity for garage doors. But, you know, I run 17,000 jobs a month, and I've got an amazing team. And personally, I don't even know how to use Service Titan. I know how to get my reports out of it. I don't know how to manipulate Intact. I don't really know how to manage our fleet. I used to do every job 15 years ago, but I don't know how payroll works. I stay in my own lane. I'm good at marketing, sales, motivation, leadership, and culture. 10X is better than 2X. So I've got a great team, and I continue to find my weaknesses and hire for it. And I think that's where a lot of entrepreneurs stumble is they want to be the smartest guy in the room, and they have too much pride, and they're a great technician and they figure things out, but they're never willing to spend the dollar because they change where their lifestyle as their business grows. They move into a nicer house. I think the one thing that caused so much success is that I lived in an apartment. We owned a complex, but my rent was cheap. I drove a used truck. And I just kept putting it back in and letting the money work for itself and hire great people and build culture and go visit.
That's really that's really not normal for our industry. Like, because you get to the $8-10 million mark and all of a sudden you have a really fancy house. You're driving a nice SUV. You have a sports car on the side and like I wouldn't say you're maxed out, but you definitely have moved up your means as you've gotten to that, you know, higher dollar amount of revenue.
Well, you know, a lot of people say we owe this to ourselves. We owe us the lake house. We owe ourselves the Harley. Right. And they don't. The first 5 years, you don't owe yourself anything because you didn't have any money to start with. Give back to the thing that gave you everything. And it's called delayed gratification. And if you do that properly and you invest in the right people, I'm telling you, one or two good hires, we went from $12.5 million to $27 million in 1 year of EBITDA.
Wow.
And that was because of a few key hires, one in particular. And all I can tell you is you get the right people on the bus and you're looking at the right things.
But the thing about it is, it's like you don't know what you don't know until you know. And then it's whenever you're the technician who's an owner and you don't know about hiring a controller, like it's scary as hell to hire someone for a position that you really don't even know much about yourself. And then trusting that they're going to do what you want them to do with your baby that you've grown to, you know, $2-4 million. And all of a sudden now you're not in control of it anymore.
Yeah. Tommy. So like you said, like 15 years ago, you used to do all these things and used to know all the things, just like anyone that starts a business, that they're a technician in a truck or they're really good at what they do and they decide to start a business. Have you just been, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, do you just fail forward and just keep failing forward? Or how did you get to the point where you realized that all these key hires, like I knew that I need to make this key hire because I could tell this is a problem that I didn't want to fix or couldn't fix.
Yeah. You know, I think 2014 was a pivotal year because I brought Adam Cronenberg on and he was great at everything I hated when it comes to setting up the CRM, payroll, dealing with lawyers. I was really good at interviewing, training, sales, and marketing. And I think if your sales are right and your marketing's dialed in, conversion rates are dialed, average tickets, we always had a ton of money. I just didn't know how to keep it. Hence a great CFO and controller telling you when to put the gas on and when to hit the brakes. Mm-hmm. Then you learn tax strategy. And then you really understand how to recruit the right people. And there's nothing better than an equity incentive program for that. That's when you could give somebody, because you could pull on somebody that's been where you want to go. And if you've got a plan, and if, like, for example, you know, we've got a 3-year plan and people are bought in because they've already done it. And so we're able to get the best talent in the country, sometimes out of the country. And these people, they come in and they implement and they change.
Can you explain what that is? What the equity program is?
Yeah. So an equity incentive program. And it's something I talk a lot about because it's in the book Elevate, Build a Business Where Everybody Wins. Is you could basically take a pool. I did 30%, and I put the valuation at $50 million. Although I believe it was probably worth more than that, you just didn't know what the multiples were when I created the program. They went up through COVID dramatically, and so I took the flat line. The business is worth 50, and I had 20 people come in. Different. Some of them were less than 1%. Some of them were a couple percent. So when the business is worth $600 million, the first 50 comes to me. And if there's 550 left and you got 1%, that's 5.5 million. So they're all owners. They're all running towards the same direction, but they don't get the money unless over 51% of the company sells and they don't have any tax liability going into it. So what that did was really align everybody to run in the same direction and understand every dollar we spend, we'll lose damn near 20, and every dollar we make, we'll make 20. And understanding this piece of the business is what we were talking about before the show started, is it doesn't feel legal. It feels like monopoly money when you really look at it. It doesn't even make sense to me, but we were essential. Nail salons, movie theaters, bowling alleys, restaurants, hotels were shutting down. We became the most important thing out there. The government said, go run your calls. No one could be stuck in a garage. No one can have a burst pipe or a leaky roof. So we were deemed essential, and the multiples went up. And what I think PE companies are starting to look at is, wow, this is some serious cash. And if you're a platform and if you get your integration team dialed in and you've got good opportunities to pull companies in, and that's what's so cool. People always ask me, why would anybody want to sell to you? And yeah. I'm like, because the 20% is worth more than the 80% I'm giving them. And the way that this program works with PE typically is every 6 months we revalue the company. So let's say you were selling your company, Tersh, to me, mm-hmm. and you said, Tommy, I'm going to double this company in 18 months. I'm like, well, we're going to more than double it in a year. So you're coming into the share price right now where if you rolled 20% and we tripled and you put $1 million in, it's worth $3 million next year.
Yeah.
And then if we double again, it's worth $6 million. So, and you got chips off the table. You can start enjoying. I tell everybody, what's your dream job? What do you want to do? How much vacation time do you want? Real vacation time where you don't look at your phone at all.
The whole time.
So for some people, everybody, as an entrepreneur, we say we're gonna do better. We're going to get better. Everybody's praying for a hot summer, an early summer, and it wasn't this year. So everybody's mm-hmm. numbers are off. They're catching up because it's been hot. And everybody's saying, what's going on? The demand isn't what it was. Well, the problem is you've got all these PE companies that are able to pay triple the amount per lead. So now pay-per-click, the small guy can't afford it. Right. You're trying to compete on SEO. You can't afford to buy great links and get your meta tags dialed in. You can't afford a great company to answer every single call that'll spike the LSA leads. And you can't afford to have somebody just working on citation sites and making sure every review is dialed in and pictures are in the reviews. I used to hate big companies, but now I'm understanding it's just a series of systems that dictate the output.
Well, what do you say to the people who are afraid to sell because of the lack of control and having to listen to someone else's?
There's a lot of horror stories. To be an employee, which is what they didn't want to be when they started their business. Because technically, even though you might run your company with a deal, you answer to somebody else or a board or whatever that looks like.
Well, the question is, why did you go into business? Did you go in to have complete freedom to do what you want when you want with who you want? Did you want to enjoy your parents' time while they're still alive? Did you want to take your kids to Disney World before they turn 20? Did you want to go on a real vacation for a month and take your family to France and not have to look at your phone? Or they say they don't answer to anybody. If the company doesn't make money and they're not there nights, weekends, holidays, the business fails. So by building an infrastructure, I was able to go on vacation for 2 months at a time before I pulled in a partner. But what I'm saying is I had no idea the feeling until January when I was able to do things. I was able to help my mom and dad out, my sister, my niece, my nephews. Mm-hmm. We're living our best life ever now, and I'm able to buy back my time, and my health has never been better. And all I can say is there are horror stories, so you got to be very careful on who you're getting into bed with.
Oh, because
there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of shams. There's a lot of small guys that'll promise the world. You got to have a proven track record. I spoke to every single business that was involved in CoreTech. I met the different owners that have worked with them, and I saw the outcome of what was happening. And it took a long time, but we came out with a great outcome, and I'm loving every minute of it because Ken Goodrich told me, he said, Tommy, he said, you're really good at home service. You're one of the guys that I think is one of the best in the game for your age, for sure. But he said, you don't understand the financial side of it. You don't understand how to raise money and how to start a PE fund and how to really, really, how the money works with debt and how they do a loan with 5x against EBITDA. And now that I'm learning this stuff, it's like, Ken was right. And I owe him a lot of thanks because the shit I'm learning now is nuts. And it's like, if I keep stacking onto what I'm learning, I'm 40. I just turned 40 in March. And I'm like, and the money now is a byproduct. It's a KPI.
Right.
But I'm having fun. I'm not like, oh, man, I hate getting up. I mean, I ran two meetings from the house. The cleaning lady was there. So much fun stuff now. We're going to Hawaii. I just got back from Tahoe with my family, big family trip, going to church every Sunday. It's like, I think it was the best move I could ever make. I didn't make one mistake through the process. My amazing team got me through it. It was stressful, but best decision I ever made times 10.
That's what's up. That's the thing. I mean, like I said before, you don't know what you don't know until you know it. And we've all heard the horror stories of the snake oil salesperson, the one that's a quick talker and can just go through and make it seem wonderful. But if you don't do your proper research after before you actually sign on the dotted line, then when you get screwed, it's essentially your fault, even though that person there was supposedly helping you or whatever, but you need to do your proper research on that.
Tommy, did you find, so when you started figuring out, obviously this is a process that took months, if not into a year plus, did you find it easy to, with people that have been there, like Ken and other people, easy for them, like they were willing to give you things to watch out for if you asked if you just started the conversation and asked questions?
Yeah, I had a board of advisors. I had a guy, Eric Van Dam from Cowan, on the team. I had a CPA. I had my brother-in-law, who's a CIO at GE. I had Tom Howard, Ken Goodrich on my board. So we knew what we were doing. And plus, Dan, the president of the company, has been through 20 transactions. Used to work for Five Hour Energy guy or whatever. And I'll tell you.
What it sounds like to me, though, Tommy, is that you had the resources at hand because you had – money, like you were large.
Right. I don't think, like, look, I've had a million opportunities. We had 90 people look at the deal, over half of them bid on the company, and we went to dinners and we had lots of discussions, lots of lawyers involved, lots of diligence. We got audited by a big four bank. We did our own quality of earnings. We paid $600,000 for a Parthenon study to see market cap. Wow. We did it the right way. But what I could tell you is, now that I've been through it and now that I know what I'm talking about, and I had a great outcome because I'm loving my life, as I understand it, I know the snake oil out there, and actually it's more than half of them. They retrade, they lie, they give you smoke and mirrors, dog and pony shows, and it's just not real. And they don't have any credibility. They went and raised funds. They think they're going to buy three HVAC companies, combine them. They don't know anything about org charts, about daily operations, about morning mojo calls, about motivating their techs, about sales conversion rate, average ticket, cost per acquisition, attribution models. And when you add all this stuff up, so me with these guys is dangerous, because I know how to run a home service company. And then with what I'm learning from Cortec, I mean, they give us the slideshows and we build a deck for them. And this thing, we found $100,000 last month. We found $200,000 the month before. We're is figuring out ways
in
to
lo- in potential loss, like you found that money in areas that could be lost or like new opportunities.
For example, Service Titan, they don't have the best plug-in to be able to run a credit card and swipe it.
Yeah.
So we were manually entering them. That's $55,000 by just...
That adds up a lot.
$55,000 for the merchant fee. Yeah. I'll tell you what, we're top grading certain things. We're moving people around. We moved our booking rate up 10%. We had to get rid of 20 CSRs because we weren't at the right bookable amount of calls. So we just trimmed some fat. We went from 16% bottom line to 20. We're at 23 now. We'll get to 30 by the end of the year. And then we're introducing storage. We're going to be introducing front doors. We're going to be introducing light commercial. And then we're going into the Spanish market. So we're building the whole website in Spanish. We're doing a lot of initiatives that I don't think would be possible without the help of these guys, because these guys have seen hundreds of deals. They understand they're just smart because they've been through it. They've got experience. Mm-hmm. And they're still letting me run the business. They're still letting our core leadership team run the business. They're very involved in acquisitions. They're very involved in opportunities to buy companies. And I don't want to buy a company unless I think they're going to be better off. Like I wrote in the book Elevate, they got to win. They got to feel like they're getting a good shake. And things change. You know, Cody Johnson, Vince Johnson, Ryan Johnson, they're workhorses. And I told Cody the other day, and he's probably listening because he listens to everything I do. He and I are great friends. I just said, make sure you're not doing anything. You're very wealthy now. Make sure you're doing things to work on the business, the old Michael Gerber. If you got anything you could do for $50 or less to pay somebody, and it takes time to get used to this, but Cody's got 8 kids. Ryan's got 5. They're going to have a great outcome, and they're going to be my friends, best friends forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make sure I talk to them at least twice a week to make sure everything's going good. It's hard, but they're going to be very happy. They're doing over $1 million a month. They'll be at 2 million here within, I'm hoping within by January to February.
That's wild, dude. Garage doors. And they're in Texas?
Houston.
Yeah, Houston.
Houston, yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, man. That's wild. That's so George Childers on Facebook, he asked this question here. Maybe too early to ask, but what was your starting point, and when did you when you realized change was necessary?
I mean, change, one of the things I could tell you about change is my life is about change. I encourage people to accept and love change, is to always want to change. If you're going to think about the old Grant Cardone 10X, you cannot, doubling a business is not 10X. So in order to think 10X, you need to think about doing things way differently and change. And I'll tell you what, our reporting, I know every branded search versus non-branded search on every lead source out there. When you understand KPIs and you've got the right reporting and the right data integrity, you know exactly what you need to be focused on. I think a lot of times entrepreneurs, they come in and they say, I need to do this. They got 100 things to do. They don't have a top three. They don't know what will impact the business the most. And they don't understand some of the things that will impact the business the most are the hardest, and they never get around to doing it. And what I would say now is a good employee is the worst employee you could have, because bad employees get fired. Great employees take you straight up. Good employees just barely get by. They're not on the radar. And we've been way better than we've ever been at recruiting and hiring.
And you have a ton of employees. How do you weed out the good employees, because they do stay under the radar?
Well, we use Jody Underhill at Rapid Hire to find great technicians, CSRs, dispatchers. We use a lady named Blair Miller out of Michigan to find C-level. And Cortech has a great recruiting firm as well.
What happens if they get in there and they are like, they get in and they're good, they're not?
Well, here, let me explain our process. So number one, you got to do a ride along. You got to do a background check, drug test, DMV. We've got a committee of guys that work on who we're going to bring in and make sure they're the right guys. They got to work for a month before they're allowed to come to Phoenix to train. And then we do predictive predict. It's Jonathan Wisman wrote The Sales Boss, and his behavioral test, the predictive predict, is so much better than the PI, the predictive index. It's better than anything I've ever used, because it takes our nurture. It takes our training. And it says, how long will the guy last? And what it guesses within $10 of where their average ticket is going to be. And if that gives the green light, it's the ultimate advantage. And then, you know, with the stuff we're pulling on, some stuff with AI right now, with form fills and outreach and upsells. And I do believe that my main goal is to develop software, automations, keep the culture where it is, and keep hiring great people. If we just focus on that, it's going to be very hard for anybody. So many people are worried about if their guy's going to come over hungover or high the next day, and how they're going to make payroll and how they're going to get the new trucks. We don't have any of those issues. And I talked to the CTO at Service Titan, Anmol, a couple times a month. And we're forward developing faster than they could keep up with. And now we're integrating into the biggest distribution centers in the country. And they're coming to play ball because Cortex behind us. And, you know, we're building direct integrations into Oracle. So we'll know what's in stock at the DC when no one else will.
So tell me this though, Tommy. A lot of our listeners are, they're going to be like your Cody Johnson and smaller than Cody's business. They don't have the ability to go into Oracle or go into these distribution centers. How would you recommend that they weed out the good? Have you ever, or actually, tell me a time when you have had someone who had, you had a great relationship, but they were good and you didn't want to get rid of them because they weren't great, but you had a good relationship with them.
Yeah. My CFO, my last CFO. I mean, when he came in, he was very needed. He did extremely well. He got paid millions of dollars. because I left him with his equity incentive. But we went a different direction because he wasn't able to handle the growth. I'm out there visiting and touring shops, podcasting every day, reading books, hanging out with people that have already done it. Ken Haynes, Ken Goodrich, Leland Smith, Keegan. I could go on, and I'm getting advice, and I've got 30 trusted advisors. I studied Al Levy, and I extracted everything I could, and I still extract from Al Levy. I got with Dan Antonelli, and I got my shit dialed in with branding. I literally called the CEO of Alpac. I'm working with, you know, the best people in Google on different algorithms. I don't use just one person. I found the best media buying company in the country who I pay far less than anybody else. I hooked up with Dodge in Mexico, so my stuff comes straight from Dodge, wrapped, all decked out. I save 15 grand a vehicle on that. So my biggest thing is I'm the dumbest guy in the room, and I'm willing to ask a million questions, and I'm a networker. And
so I was going to wrap that up, because I think that's kind of what Church was asking a little bit. It's like, you know, with some of this stuff, you have to be willing to sound dumb, be dumb. Like, not that anyone's going to look at you that way, because most people, they're like, if you ask a genuine question, they're going to answer it, and they're going to try to find you an answer, or they're going to be like, no, I don't know the answer to that. You need to talk to so and so. But as entrepreneurs, we have to be willing to ask the question, even if you don't know how to word the question at that time, because you can't formulate all the thoughts, but you kind of have an idea. Just start asking people who have been there. And it sounds like you have done a really great job of surrounding yourself with people that have been there, and you just keep finding the next person to ask the question to. And it never stops, because there's always, at some point, I guess it would stop, but there's always someone smarter, right? Or someone that's done something a little differently or done something better than someone else. And if you never stop and get complacent, the growth continues. And that's,
I think that's where I've had experience in the past, where it's like, okay, I've reached success. I've gotten to where my original goal was. Now I'm going to set it on cruise control, and you're either growing or you're dying. So it's definitely, I mean, I felt the effects after a year of not actively like trying to grow and become a better leader.
So Tommy, I was going to ask you a question. We had some fun comments that we'll share here in the side. Church, I don't know if you've seen those yet.
Yeah.
But so Tommy, obviously you grew to a certain size. You were fairly big before you did your first deal here. Is there anything you would have done differently as you were growing that might have helped you grow faster now that you know what you know?
Yeah, 100%. I would have branded with Dan Antonelli earlier. I would have definitely hired a top-tier CFO. I couldn't afford one at the time, but I would have got a fractional CFO who knows how to put BillPay.com into place and how to build automations to pull the numbers I want instead of, you know, you could have eight people making 40, 50, 60 grand. Or you could hire one CFO that makes 500 grand for 10 hours a week. So you're paying 125 grand, right? For this guy or this gal to come in and give you everything you need to make sure your price book's dialed in, your payroll's dialed in. And the automations end up saving you a fortune. And I think most people, I've had a lot of bad hires. I've hired the wrong CFO four times. And it cost me dearly. And the biggest thing is, I happen to be at the right place a lot of the time, and I was able to recruit Dan Miller, and Dan just knew what he was doing. I had no idea what he was capable of. He came in with a pretty big head and just said, let me handle this for 6 months and we'll see if we fit. And what he did was nothing less than remarkable. And sometimes you get the right hire, like Adam Cronenberg was the right hire. Luke Martin, Brian Davenport, these guys are ride or dies. You know, we had 25 millionaires come out of the last transaction. They know it's real, and they're going to be here for the next one, and they're going to get multi-millions again. Yeah. And then they're probably going to go around for the next turn. And, you know, when that happens, the people see that you're real, and they just know that whatever you're doing, keep doing what you're doing. Tommy, you started no one liked when I started a podcast. No one really enjoyed me bringing in Al Levy and these different consultants. Nobody wanted to change our brand when I brought in Dan Antonelli. They're like, we like our brand. And those are just things where I said, I don't have pride. I want to be the guy that's going to make this company go. And the whole purpose of Elevate is to give back to the employees and focus on their dreams. and making sure that my dream's big enough to fit theirs inside so they could buy several houses. I've got a guy with four houses. I've got a 23-year-old that just put 30% down on his house in Milwaukee. It's a beautiful house. His goal is to have $100,000 in the bank this year saved. We got Roth IRAs, 401ks, PTO. We got a Pinnacle Club where I'm giving out equity. Anybody that makes my Pinnacle Club, technician-wise, 14 of them were granted equity in the business. It's life-changing, and it's going to happen within under 3 years. So I'm going to be sharing with hundreds of employees and making them lots and lots of money. And I think they're going to self-police. They're going to work harder. Their wives are going to say, go work this Saturday because we're going to make a piece of this.
Yeah. How do you communicate that with the spouses?
I think getting everybody into a room and just saying, I'm actually building right now like an oath. And basically what it says is, you're going to be an owner in this company. You are going to, if we're not online with budget, you will pick up. These are the elite, right? These are like your, some of them are prima donnas. They're the best of the best.
Right.
And if they got to pick up an extra job or two a week, and if they got to do a ride along, if they got to do anything, they'll do it. And why wouldn't their wife be, hey, if we hit this goal, what does this mean for you? What's in it for me as the wife, as the family, for letting him pick up Christmas Eve?
Right.
Well, what does this mean? You get to go 3 weeks to Hawaii. It means that he gets to come to soccer games now. It means that he gets to go to your daughter's recital. It means that you guys could finally pay off that debt you had, those credit cards. It means you guys could start working on yourselves. It means financial freedom to do what you want, when you want, with who you want. And without having somebody accountable at home, usually the wife and kids, or the husband and kids, depending on the role.
Yeah.
Having that cheerleader behind you that understands where you guys are going and building a personal budget with, if you go to kelk.a1garagetools.com, you could see how much my technicians could make. They figure out daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly, and we hold them accountable. And every time they're not hitting their goals, we sit down and tell them, wait a minute, you wanted to go on this golf trip with your dad to Alaska. Like, we're in this for you. We want you to win. And it's a whole different conversation than we're going to put you on a PIP because you're not hitting A1's goals.
Oh, right. Yeah. Knowing their story and knowing their why, it helps that conversation completely versus just being a distant person and you're only talking KPIs. Because it's important to talk KPIs or to see the KPIs, but to know their why behind why they want to reach that goal or that target, then that really makes a big difference in the conversation you're having with the with the technicians.
Well, most people don't know their why. I guarantee you, most people listening right now, they're like, I just want to be happy and make more money and spend more time with family.
Yeah.
I never sat down and wrote down their personal goals of their bucket list about how much time they want to spend with their parents while they're still healthy, about what it's like to go with their brother-in-law and their sister or whatever. They never really figured out what is important, what's going to bring out the best in them. And if they took the time to do that, entrepreneurs especially, and what they wanted for their team and what they wanted their team's life to look like, they'd be a lot more successful.
It's funny, we just talked about that. I was just going to mention, because Brigham Dickinson was on. It was the first one that you record live. We were just talking about this. Like, what a lot of times the business consumes small business entrepreneurs, even medium and larger size, it consumes them, and they exit and they have no idea what to do. They didn't have a plan. They don't know what their why is beyond their business or making money. And they have this, there's depression afterwards.
They have a void and a depression. And that's where I think freedom comes in with this event I'm doing is, if you just want to work 9 to 5 and feel that, people are so afraid of change. And when they realize what's really out there, some people just don't want more. And if you don't want more, you're happy with your couple hundred grand a year. You're happy working the hours you are, the stress levels, the anxiety, the relationships you're going to have to burn in a business. If that's what you want, if you don't do a SWOT analysis, look at the pros and cons of the way you're going in your trajectory. My whole goal of freedom is to have a 5-year plan or less and show you guys how you can be multi-millionaires and get comfortable. I'm not sitting on an island for 6 months screwing off. There's more opportunities. I didn't let A1 define me, although it is my baby and I love it. And I've been in the business for 16, going on 17 years, but there's so much more. than just a business. There's my family. There's my faith. There's my health. There's everybody around me that I want to enrich. And I want to take people with me. And we don't have that much time on this earth, so why not make the most out of it? And it takes money. And anybody that says money is evil, the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. And you're entitled to make money. In fact, you better make money. You better read the book Acres of Diamonds. You better make money if you're in business. You are allowed to make 20% after you're paying yourself six figures and build a company that's worth selling. John Warlow said it the best, built the self. And if you're not thinking about that, then why in the hell did you get in business? Come work for me, be an entrepreneur, make a lot of money and get rid of all your stress. Because if you're going to live this life full of stress, anxiety, burning relationships like I just talked about, what is your plan? What is the goal? And write it down and breathe it, live it. Make sure everybody knows in your company. Make sure everyone knows where you're headed. Everybody's like, I don't like people to know my numbers. Well, you're an asshole. Look in the mirror and wonder why shit's not going your way.
That's right.
Because of you.
True story. True story. So Mike Chastain asked on Facebook, it doesn't show up here, but I just looked up. It's Mike. And he said, how is a small guy trying to grow? Do you take all these things Tommy and Ken and others put out and not get overwhelmed? It's like I need to put it all in place, but I don't know where to start.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. No one knows where to start unless you have great numbers. What's your conversion rate? What's your average ticket? What's the average of the, what is your cost per acquisition? What's your booking rate? I'll tell you, I've never seen a call center I couldn't do work on. I've never seen a follow-up system that I've been impressed with. I've never seen a Service Titan account that I was like, wow. I've never seen a benefits package that pulled in the right people, winners. If I could go back in time to day one, I would work solely on three things. Price book, scorecard, compensation. It's going to attract winners, all-stars, that are going to make a lot of money, but they're going to make us a lot of money. And they're going to be happy, and they're not going to turn over. And they're going to be living their best life, and they're going to be advocates for you, recruiting out there, finding customers, finding other people to come work for you. And that's where I'd start. Most people are not priced right. They don't have the right scorecard to follow the right KPIs. And they're sure as hell not paying to attract winners. And if you get that right, it all comes a lot easier.
And Tommy, you know, it's funny because you have a Facebook group and other things. I'm sure you still see some of that stuff sometimes. I see a lot. Contractors beat up other contractors. We're like our own worst enemy because they beat them up over the price. And I see these like local Facebook groups where like in our neighborhood here in Queen Creek. And these guys, they just beat the crap out of each other on price. Over and over. It's crazy how bad is it. Like as a home service industry, we should really all be trying to lift. We should all be trying to make more money because our businesses are worth more than that. But we're all beating each other down. Like, no, you can't charge that. That's ridiculous.
Well, they don't know what it's like because, quite frankly, the small guy is driving a used truck. They don't support the staff. They don't have recruiters. They don't have full time trainers. They work out of their house, and this is exactly what I used to do and say, how could somebody charge that price? The problem is there's bad companies out there that charge way more than the value they give because of those bad companies. But when somebody really runs their own company, it doesn't come from a technician mindset. They come from an entrepreneur mindset. You got to understand the business needs to run when you're not there, so you need to hire the infrastructure. Therefore, you need to charge the right prices. What I found is I thought $2,000 was a lot for a door. Our average door sale is $8,000 now. People say, how can you charge that? And I'll say, because we deliver value. We show up the same day. Wrap truck, drug test, background check. We offer coffee on the way. We smile. We talk about stories. We get to build a raving fan. We ask for reviews. And then we ask for a service agreement. And we sold 30,000 service agreements in the last 14 months.
Oof. You know, it's funny. Before you, I mean, I'm sure that somebody else tried or figured something out. But service agreements in the garage door industry was not something that I ever really heard a lot about. It's always been an HVAC thing. I know plumbers are trying to get in that. Some of that's Billy's been preaching that same thing for a while now, but 30,000 in 14 months is insane to me. Like that's just an insane number of service agreements. Is there anything, any tips that you would give to any, because there's a lot of people that have no service agreement plans, nothing. And, or they create a plan that's really complex. It's got the VIP. It's got the, you know, all the other bells and whistles. What have you done to get 30,000 agreements in 14 months? Or what do you think has been the main driver?
What gets measured gets managed, and we made it into the scorecard, and we started studying the unicorns that were selling them. And we started really the compensation program. We've been selling service agreements for 5 years. We finally figured it out 14 months ago. And we made it simple. As many doors as you have, it's $12.95 a month. We come out lubricated, just tighten everything on the door. We do 151-point tune-up. We call you. You get an extended warranty. You get a free surge protector. We're going to you're going to need more parts in the future. You're going to need other things. And you get, because you're a club member, you get extremely great pricing. This is the largest, most dangerous moving object on your home. Let us make it safe. Let us make sure it's for the small cost of, you know, $140 a month, year, we're going to come out. You're going to save that money today anyway. And the biggest thing is they save money on today's work, but we don't add that with any coupons. So we say, this is your best savings. And it's just monthly reoccurring, and it just starts adding up. But really, we're building that fence around the customer because they might not need a new door next year. They might not want one in 3 years, but I'll tell you what they do want. They're going to want our overhead storage. They're going to want their floors done. They're going to want the front door when we do it. So these memberships are going to pay this. It's all about lifetime value. And these are the concepts that it took me a decade to figure out. And that's why I just have too much with the team we have and the things we've learned from Al Levy and the things we've learned from, I could go on and on and on with the people that have been our advocates, Darius Livers, Tom Howard. The difference is I implement and I know the exact thing to get started with. You know, you start with brand, you make sure your marketing's dialed in and you got to get manuals and SOPs and checklists. And you got to make sure your CRM is dialed in to do what it can do. You get those things figured out in a year and then get the right controller that could be making 70 grand a year. You'll be able to make really great decisions. You'll be able to run your business. And a lot of people, that it's all about relationships for me. I mean, I've burned through 10 different PPC companies. Now we do it in-house. But I don't sit there and if I don't get the results I want, I'll give them 90 days. And I say, if you can't prove this and you don't have, we're very picky on who we bring in to do things. And we've got lots and lots of specialists. If we need help, we'll just hire somebody for 100 grand and bring them in for a month. It doesn't matter. I got a guy just working on Six Sigma and all this stuff right now on all kinds of processes. And that's through Core Tech. And he's working for free. But we bring in consultants all the time. Because what if you figured out that you were making $15 for every dollar you made? And you had a one-time fee of 200 grand. But you could add another 200 grand to the bottom line. That's $3 million. People don't think like that.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a different thought process, especially if you're a technician. If you're the technician coming in to be the business owner, it's not necessarily how you think. One last thing, George, I think it was George, asked on Facebook, where could you get a list of those KPIs to use or somewhere to start using that? Do you have any idea?
Well, let me just tell you this. In the first book, Home Service Millionaire, these are the KPIs that could tell you how much you need to spend in marketing. It's very simple. If you want to make $10 million, divide that by your average ticket, then divide that by your conversion rate. So 80% conversion rate would be 0.8, and then divide that by your booking rate. And then you multiply that by your cost per acquisition, and that's your marketing budget. And when you start looking at these numbers and you go up in your conversion rate, you get a higher booking rate, you increase average ticket, you find that you could afford to do a lot more things and you could afford to do a lot more marketing. You see a lot of people say, I spend 3% on marketing. I think that's bullshit. You're never going to take market share with 3%, 10% minimum. And then you've got to have like, look, we just hired a new VP of marketing. He's starting on Monday and I've got about 10 things for him to do, but I want him to get his wings for the first 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for doers. I'm going to just tell him I want dates. I want deadlines. And I want to know that what this is doing and this is how it's going to go. And I think most of my life is all about how do I do leads? How do I convert those leads? How do I get a good average ticket, repeat business, five-star reviews? And if you're getting the leads, you're getting the sales, it solves everything.
So tell me this. This is your first book here, and it was written in 2018, I think.
Yep.
Is there anything in this book that you would change now?
Oh, let's see here.
Looking back, especially what you've learned since selling a portion of your business and going through that entire process there.
You know, Alan Rohr wrote a good section in there about the financial quick check meeting. You know, that's the basis for starting a successful business. 2017, I was probably doing 30 million. Maybe a little less than that. 2018, I was doing 30 million. So I would say everything's there spot on for most businesses. I've had hundreds of people reach out that said, I've read the book, I've implemented, I've read it five times. Everything I've done in the book and their businesses are just that's something else, Trish, that is important is when people read the book and listen to the podcast, they'll call me up and they'll say, hey, I got something for you. I know a garage company that wants to sell because I've gotten so much from you giving that I feel like I owe you something and nobody owes me anything. But it's nice because I feel like I've got thousands of people looking out for me.
Yeah. The giver's gain, for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it is. And obviously through, and honestly, Tommy, you're like everywhere. I joked with you before we jumped on, like, oh, it's Tommy again. I feel like I know you, even though we talked a few times.
Is that weird? Isn't that weird, Tommy? You go somewhere and someone has a conversation with you and they're like talking to you about just stuff that you've, like your personal experience, and you're like, I don't have a clue who you are, but yeah, I appreciate you following. And
no, it's great. I actually, it's cool. I love hearing it. I'll be at an airport and somebody walk up, be like, you're Tommy Mello. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, dude, I just started implementing this. And it's like, I had a guy call me up about 2 weeks ago. He said, we went from $30,000 a month of profit to $100,000 by implementing your strategy for performance pay. And that literally took them 60 days to go from 30 to 100,000. Wow. And those are the things where I'm like, this is great. I want the whole industry to win. And I'm not the end all be all. That's why I bring on a lot of guests. I'm stumped all the time. That's why I love my podcast. Because if I'm stumped with something, I just bring on
Someone super smart and just ask them the questions that you would have to ask.
I will tell you, that is a benefit of the podcast. That's for sure.
It definitely is. It's networking on steroids. Because literally, Tersh and I will get done talking with like someone like yourself or some of these people outside of our industry, like, oh man, that was really good. Like, I had no idea. We end up buying services from people that we bring on the podcast because we learn so much from them during the podcast itself. And it's incredible what something like this can do. And I think you mentioned Cody Vince. I think they do a local podcast now, don't they? In Houston?
Yeah, they're doing with Jim Clock. Doing that podcast. Yep.
And just giving back to that's more on a local level, but we started to see a trend that Tersh, I know people reach out to Tersh all the time about stuff like that on a local level, but there's a lot of ways to give back on a smaller scale. Like not everyone's going to be a Tommy Mello or Ken Good. Like there's only so many people that are going to get to that size. Right. So how do you start on a smaller level?
They could be. They don't want to be, you know, the fact is I'm not married. I don't have kids and I don't know if I was, you know, I think family comes first and you got to make, I do believe that. I don't know if I'd be where I'm at today and I'm not, you know, I still feel like I've got a lot of energy. I want kids and I want to get married. But ultimately when I look back, I don't have very many regrets. Obviously there's things I would have done differently like everybody would, but for me, I just can't believe it. It just seems kind of like a fairy tale the way things have been going. And I've seen so many things happen with people that just out of the blue. So just every day is a blessing. And it really is. I hear all these people, these fake gurus, these people that are wealthy, but they're very depressed. The optics of how their lives are so fake. Mine's real. I mean, it's real as can be. And it doesn't get much better than this. And I'm kind of just loving it.
Cool, Tommy. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Again, where can people pick up a copy of your book?
ElevateAndWin.com, and then the event coming up in November. You know what's really cool about this event is I bought a DeLorean. It's an 81, and it's getting done up just like Back to the Future. Like, it's got the flex capacitor. It's got Mr. Fusion in the back. And then I just bought kit from Knight Rider, so I'm going to have the Knight Rider car there. I'm going to have the DeLorean there. And dude, I'm telling you guys right now, and listen, I don't like kind of pitching myself, but if somebody wants to figure these things out and figure out a way to bring in a business that maybe they don't want to sell, but every business should be sellable, and started thinking about getting their finances in order, accrual accounting, delayed draw term loans, an equity incentive program, dialing in KPIs, getting their CRM dialed in, whether that's Sierra, House Call Pro, ServiceTitan, whatever, Jobber, whatever it might be, Service Fusion. That's one of the things that I think we could do, because a lot of the guys that are coaching these programs have never done it. And I'm still in the middle of it. I'm still in the fight. Right. And I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, but what I'm saying is I'm taking things I'm learning every day and applying them to lots and lots of other companies. And I've got all the connections. And if someone needs a connection, I could call 30 people and find the best one. And the network's only getting bigger. So I think, you know, with this freedom event, if somebody comes and they don't get 10x their value, I'll give you your money back. I don't care. We're spending $1.2 million on the event. This isn't a money. I'm going to lose money on the event. I don't care. All I know is that I told all my guys yesterday during orientation, all the new techs, if I could impact your life for the good, it's my responsibility to do so. If you could, you should. And I think there's a lot of opportunities for a lot of people. And some people will listen, but they won't implement. And I can't do anything about that. Cody Johnson was one of the best implementers I've ever met. And that's all I ask. And if you can't come, it's fine. I won't lose sleep over it. But if somebody wants to build a business that's worth lots and lots of millions, I'd recommend being there.
And that's November 1st through 3rd in Orlando, Florida.
We will put it's a very easy URL. It's freedomevent.com. Otherwise, we'll have the link in the show notes. We'll also put a link to Tommy's new book, Elevate and Win, which is coming out on Audible soon.
Yeah, it's good. It's been submitted. We got a campaign going out for we put it on Vimeo too, each chapter, and it's cheap. Literally the book is it's more of a calling card. And then I'm writing a book with Mark Victor Hansen right now about the power of ADHD, is it's not a sickness.
Yeah.
And that book's coming out later this year. And really, Elevate is really about building a business where everybody's running in the same direction and you're letting everybody win. Your vendors, your suppliers, your partnerships, the customer, and the employees. And you get to win too. And I think more people need to understand, they need to look from the perspective of what's in it for the people around me. Why would I come work for you? And if they could think from that mentality, and then a lot of us suffer from ADHD, that's just a visionary mindset. We've got a lot of ideas. And when you learn to control it, it's a power, it's a superpower. But you got to sit in the right seat on the bus if you're going to be successful with it. And it's actually a fiction book that we're coming out with. So
that's cool.
People say, how do you do it all? And I'm like, you got to meet the team. That's why I get tours twice a month. I am like 3% of this business on a good day. They probably do better when I'm not here. I'm just the gas to push people forward. I'm asking a lot of questions and I'm out there hunting for answers all the time. So I really appreciate you guys letting me onto the show, and congratulations. You guys are killing it. This is a really great podcast.
We appreciate it, buddy. We appreciate everything you do for us. And if anybody has any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us, servicebusinessmastery.com. We'll have the links to everything on the podcast on that website as well. But don't forget freedomevent.com. That's November 2nd through 3rd of 2023. So if you happen to be listening to this and it's been a couple of years, you'll just have to check in and see what you missed. But hope to see everybody there. And we'll talk to you again next week. See you later.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.